it sure is good to see everybody here for Wednesday night praise. Hallelujah. How many of you got the text message we sent out today? Did anybody get that? Yeah, well, thank you. Five of you did. I'm so glad to see that. If you haven't had a chance to sign up for our text communications list, there is the gray card there. You can always jot down your cell phone number. Of course, when you do that, we keep that private, but if you're wondering what we're talking about and you like to get the text messages, praise the Lord. Well, turn in your Bibles tonight to Daniel chapter 2. You want to bring me down a little bit in the house? I feel like I'm really a little loud up here. Go to Daniel chapter 2. Praise the Lord. And let's call this message tonight, What Happened in Our Nation Last Night? Of course, you say, well, we elected a new president. Yes, and of course, it might have even been, you know, a political upset, and it might have even been surprising to some folks, maybe even to us, you know, and we're going to talk about what it is and where it came from. Folks, before I preach this message, I am not here still to advocate for a political campaign or a candidate. Again, you know, there is no doubt, and let me just say this again, that, of course, you may have heard about the election last night, that it was a record turnout for the evangelical Christians, you know, in America. They turned out in huge numbers. It was the reason why Romney lost in 2012. It was the reason why McCain lost in 2008, because they did not get the kind of evangelical turnout that Donald Trump did last night. And so there's no doubt that Christians played a major role, if not the most major role, you know, in electing him. But if you're here, you say, well, I'm a Christian and I chose somebody else. Well, that's all right, okay? You know, you're not lesser. No one's mad at you. You're not on the wrong side of anything. And maybe we can just learn a few things, though, here tonight as we look in at the significance of it, you know, pertaining to the word, because it's more than what happened in the election last night was more than just getting another president and a new administration. There was a lot at stake. There was a lot at stake. And when I say this, anything I say, you know, pertaining the election, again, it's not to bolster the candidate who won. I'm not here, again, I've said it before the election, our hope, our salvation is never found in a political candidate. You know, yeah, there's better ones than not, and maybe we have our preferences in that. But listen, Jesus' name is still the agent of change before the election. It still is, all right? But there's no doubt that an overwhelming majority of born-again Christians were very pleased with the results of the election last night. I mean, overwhelming number and majority of Christians obviously broke for Donald Trump. And we're going to take a look at it in the Word. And when I say things, again, it's not to say God loved Donald Trump more than Hillary Clinton or anything like that. God is not a Republican. I just want to give you a heads up. And here's the thing. I'm not either. I'm not. I don't belong to any political party. I actually did for a little while, and I got disgusted, honestly, with both of them. And I jumped out of that years ago, where I don't belong to any political party. I don't have any political agenda. I just want what's best for the church and the one that is going to give the gospel of Jesus Christ greater free course and who is going to govern in the most appropriate manner that would elect, you know, or select judges to the Supreme Court that would uphold our laws and would, you know, give way to more righteous laws as opposed to evil ones, all right? And so you just understand, still, nothing that I'm going to say tonight, obviously this election is over. I'm not here to gloat, I'm not here to boast, and I'm not here to tell you what to think. But even when, you know, maybe there was an election in 2012 and 2008 where a lot of the evangelicals were very upset and down and depressed with the outcome of the election, I still preached a message regarding the election after those two elections. I'm not, this is not out of the norm. I honestly, even up until this morning, I was still planning to go a different direction for this service. All right, and then something started just happening. The Spirit of God just started leading me, and I noticed that happened in 2008 and 2012 as well. Okay, so this is following right along with what the Lord would have me to do in pastoring this church. All right, just so you know and understand this. But first of all, make no mistake, all right, what happened last night was very shocking to our nation. All right, it was the greatest political upset that this nation has ever seen. And if people wonder why, I will tell you why, because God's hand was all over it. There was a reason why Donald Trump was selected as our president. Again, that is not to say he's going to become the greatest president America has ever known. I don't know that. I'm not saying that he's going to usher in the ultimate golden age. Again, he's not our hope. All right, I'm just saying that there was a reason and a purpose why he was selected, and it was God's hand moving on that situation, because I don't know if you watched the coverage and if you watched the different news outlets. I mean, they looked like they were about to throw up. All of them. Even Fox News, who says they're conservative and everything else. I don't believe that at all. You know, I don't have any trust in any of those news networks. They're all, you know, funneled by huge amounts of money, and they'll say and do whatever it takes to become successful. I don't have trust in any of them. I'm sure there's some good people at all of them. I'm not trying to be critical or whatever, but everyone was sitting there, and they were even saying things as, could this really happen? We thought by 9 o'clock that the thing would be in the bag, you know, and state after state started to fall and fall and fall, and they just, I mean, they were wiping their faces. They were, how did this happen? Where did we all miss it? Because I'll tell you what, a move of God happened to make sure that some things were preserved in this country. All right. I want to tell you about an experience that I had right here in the church during one of our Wednesday night prayer sessions. It was almost 2 years ago, and it was just about when the election was just starting to get underway, and everyone knew that Hillary Clinton was going to run for the Democrats and that she was going to be, you know, the chosen one. She was already coronated. It didn't matter. I mean, we saw what happened there. I mean, there was another individual that ran against her and would have probably won, but it was already set from the get-go. She was going to be the one, and nobody at this time had declared for the Republicans. I mean, it was that long ago. And we had already started praying for the election a couple of years ago during our Wednesday night prayer time. And I was up here, and I was praying in the Holy Ghost, and I was just walking back and forth, and I knew that I had entered into prayer regarding Hillary Clinton. And I, you know, sometimes when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, yeah, the Bible says that you don't know. Of course, that your mind is unfruitful and you don't know what you're praying for. But there are times when either by tongues and interpretation or just by the inner witness or the word of knowledge, you will begin to know and understand what you're praying about. And I just, all of a sudden, I knew I was praying out things regarding Hillary Clinton. And I just started talking to the Lord and just started saying, what about her? You know, there seemed, as I prayed, there seemed to be something very dangerous about her. And I just started praying, and Lord, what is that? What is that thing? And I even said, oh, Lord, we can't have her as our president. Lord, we can't have that in this nation. And I didn't have any revelation yesterday. I did not know what was going to happen. Even when I woke up yesterday morning, I woke up, I had a sense of complete peace. I was telling Pastor Jeff that I woke up and I had like this note of victory, but I didn't know. Whereas in 2012, I knew days before. And everyone was saying, oh, Romney's going to win, Romney's going to win. I told my wife at least 4 days before that election, I looked at her in the kitchen, I said, Romney's not winning this election. Just don't mean to tell everybody. But I know by the Spirit of God that it's going to be Obama again. And that started to sink in and just, you know, realize it. This time I didn't have that revelation. I just knew that 2 years ago, while I was praying, the Spirit of God spoke up regarding Hillary Clinton and said, there is coming a surprise regarding Hillary Clinton. And that is what the voice of the Holy Ghost said to me as I was walking right here, as I was praying, that there was coming a surprise regarding her. And I understood that this was not spoken, but I knew and understood that the Spirit of God was telling me that she would not be president, and that there was coming a surprise. And then, of course, you know, Republican candidates started to come forth. And then all of a sudden in June of last year, Donald Trump, you know, announced his presidency. And, you know, I thought that was interesting. I was like, oh, well, look at this. This is going to make things fun. And it sure did. Made things, made it interesting. And of course, folks, don't misunderstand me. No one here, myself, let me say this. I'm not trying to in any way describe Donald Trump as a perfect man, as a holy Christian. I'm not in any way trying to give you that impression. I'm not saying that at all. But the Republicans started to announce and things like that, and all of a sudden, you know, Trump just started to instantly just jump out to the forefront and everything, and one by one, I mean, he started to just shock, you know, every prediction about him, everything that the media threw at him was not sticking to him. And all these professional politicians that were running against him who are so better spoken and experienced and all this thing, I mean, one by one, they just started dropping by like flies until he shocked the world and actually gained the Republican nomination. And I kept saying, well, maybe he is the surprise. You know, there was something in my spirit about her health, that maybe there was something pertaining to her health, and some of those things did come out. You know, that she was having health problems or whatever, and that maybe influenced the race a little bit. But then obviously last night the surprise was completed, and I didn't realize just how much our media was just, I mean, they had already locked it up. They had already gone into that thing, hey, this is a quick night, it's an easy night, this is an open and shut door, closed case, this is just boom, bang, we're going to be done and home by midnight, you know. Well, that didn't happen. All of a sudden, Florida went, and then North Carolina. Then he shocked everybody by winning Ohio by almost 10%. And then Pennsylvania. I mean, who would have, I mean, they never thought that. Wisconsin went, and all those things started happening. And I started realizing by seeing the response on the faces of all of the media and everyone, this is shocking, it's shocking, it's stunning, and all this. It was a surprise. You know, it was the surprise that shocked not just our nation, but it shocked the entire world, you know. And it was very much what the Holy Ghost had spoken to me, that there was coming a surprise. And I, to her credit, you know, she was very gracious, you know, in conceding the race. She could have, you know, tried to enter into legal battles and try to sue over these states and that state and all that stuff. And she didn't do that. Our president today gave a very good speech about a peaceful transition of power, and that he is going to start rooting for the success of our next president. That's very, very good, and you know, we're happy about that. But I want to show you what happened in the Word and what God was doing. Daniel chapter 2, because last night was an act of God's hand in our nation. All right? Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21. And of course, you know that the Bible will use the word king to describe those in civic leadership. We don't have a king. We did not elect a king last night. We did not elect a king 8 years ago, all right? We have a president, and he does not have all executive power in this country, and that's a good thing. We don't want a king. We've never wanted a king. We're not a monarchy here. We are a constitutional republic. All right, and that is, you know, how our nation is founded. So when the Bible uses the word king, it's talking about civic leaders. Our equivalent would be president. Obviously, the word president didn't really exist back in the days of Daniel, which is about 700 years before Christ came to this earth, okay? So Daniel chapter 2, and go to verse 21. Now, this is talking about, this is God, or Daniel speaking about God, and how God he influences governments here on this earth. And in verse 21 it says, "And he, God the Father, changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." And then verse 22 he says, "He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him." Right? And of course, he goes on to speak more of God. But in verse 21, it says of God that he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he sets up kings. All right? That is what happened last night. Not that God was setting up a king, but he was installing or giving America a new president. And his hand was upon it. And notice what was the purpose of that change. It was to change the times and to change the seasons. All right, a change of a political leader, and in this case, a president, changes not just, you know, the political landscape. Okay, now the Democrats are in there. Now we have the Republicans in there. Oh, some blue states are now red states and things like that. That's how it looks. That's the shallow understanding. But the biblical understanding is that we have just entered a new season. And God has changed the times. What times? The times of the last 8 years that our current administration has been trying to hinder the gospel, trying to prevent the gospel, has been very hostile to Christians and believers, and that season is coming to a close. Because as rough as our president-elect is, and as wrong as some things that he has said, he is going to be very good for the church. He's going to protect and defend the church, and we're moving into a new time and a new season. Hallelujah. Say, well, he's going to change the times. That means what has been taking place this last 8 years, and maybe even before, because listen, listen. We didn't necessarily have something all that. We haven't had anything that great for a while. All right? And don't misunderstand me. Say, well, he makes it sound like just the last 8 years. Listen, I saw this statistic that said that Americans were making more money in 1999 than we are here in almost 2017. Here it's been over 16 or 17 years, and Americans are making less money than they are 17 years ago. So it's not just this current president that we've had a lot of issues with. We've had a lot of bad ones. You know, and so let's not make it a Republican or a Democrat issue, but those times now are going to start to change. And there is, with this election, there is a change of the times and the season. God is setting up a very unlikely candidate, a very unlikely president to change these times. Praise the Lord. And so if you have thought the season in this country and the season for the church, especially these last years, have been tough, well, guess what? They're changing. They're changing. Glory to God. And so when he sets up one and removes another, he's doing it for a change. So, and I'll tell you what, that change can only be better because it doesn't get much worse from where we've been as a nation politically, economically, and socially. All right, these last 8 years have been an absolute train wreck for social issues, have been an absolute train wreck for our national debt, have been a train wreck for our economy, have been a train wreck for our foreign policy, been a train wreck for our military. America is the weakest we have ever been since before World War II. That is not politics, that is a fact. And so when I see the Bible says when God changes a king and sets up another, all right, he's doing it for a change. And these seasons need to change. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. It means he's going to reverse our direction for the time being. Yeah. And notice in verse 21, it says he removes kings, he sets up kings, he gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. That is how Donald Trump won last night. That God put knowledge and understanding in the most unlikely voters across this nation. He started to pour out a movement upon the hearts of people, and they came out in droves and totally shattered all expectations and predictions, and that's what he did. Now you say, well, Pastor, you're really advocating, you're really gloating about this. No, I'm not. This is what happened. This is what is not just happening in our nation, but this is what is starting to happen around the world, and it's a real good thing, where people don't want to go along with this globalization idea. The United Kingdom decided we're not going to dissolve our borders and be part of the European Union anymore. They want a strong, sovereign Britain. And now America has spoken up and said, you know what? We don't want a borderless America and a diminished America. We want to be strong. We want to be secure. We want to be safe. We want to be prosperous. And it's time for the seasons to change. Amen. And so where did that come from? It came from an outpouring of God into the hearts of average Americans. And I'll tell you what, it's an amazing thing to see. The working class people of this nation have been radically moved by a billionaire. Who would have ever thought? Who would have ever thought? It was very, very unconventional. Now go to Isaiah chapter 66. It's the last chapter in the book of Isaiah. Just go back towards the beginning of the Bible and you'll see Ezekiel and Jeremiah. And then you'll come to the end of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 66. And now let's read verse 8. And I'll start to just show you what happened. And also, we're going to get to our responsibility moving forward. Because like I said, just because something happened that might be our preference, it doesn't mean that we take a nap now. It doesn't mean that Christians can just breathe a sigh of relief and be done with it. Listen, people say, how in the world did Donald Trump win? I know, people say, because, everyone was praying that Donald Trump would win. Wrong. Donald Trump became president because the church prayed for Barack Obama more than they ever had before. They prayed for a president that was adversarial. They prayed for a president that they didn't like or didn't care for, and Christians started to pick up and understand, we need to pray for that man, even if we disagree with him, even if we don't understand him, even if he's been hostile towards the gospel and towards Christians. He's passed executive orders trying to, he paved the way for same-sex marriage in this nation. He was very, very unfriendly to the gospel, plain and simple. And, but just because we have something that may be able to change that, it doesn't mean we just stop praying for the president. If anything, we need to be praying for this president even more, because I tell you what, he is coming into this office with a lot of enemies all around the world. We need to pray for his protection. We need to pray for his safety. Listen. I have a lot of disagreements with our current president. I have a lot of disagreements about him, about his personal philosophy. I have disagreements with his beliefs. I think he probably is a nice, friendly guy. You probably could get along with him. I think he's got a good personality. But I'll tell you what, I have prayed for that man more than any other president we've ever had before. Listen, I don't agree with him, and I haven't liked his policies at all. I do believe the devil has used him to try to hinder the plan of God, but I've prayed for him. I've prayed for him. You know that every Sunday morning in this church, we pray for all those that are in authority. We pray for the president. I pray for his wife. I pray for his kids. I pray for his administration. I pray for him. I don't want any harm to come to him. I love him, though I disagree with him, because he's my president. Yeah, amen. But now we're getting someone that you might prefer a little bit better, and you don't just, breathe a sigh of relief and stop praying and think, well, it's okay now. He'll do everything right. And, listen, it doesn't mean he's going to do everything right. Listen, the backbone of any political leader, is the loyal church praying for that leader, regardless of political party, regardless of affiliation or anything like that. Amen. Go to Isaiah 66 and verse 8. Now, this is a scripture that is directly talking about Israel. I don't want you to think that this scripture was a prophecy about Donald Trump. It's not. I'm not trying to use it that way. All right, but I am going to show you that there are parallels between Israel's history and what God is doing now. Okay? Because if you will study the history of Israel and the history of America, they're very, very similar. Very, very similar. And now I want to show you what took place last night. Isaiah 66 in verse 8, it says, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Meaning the Bible is telling us that God is saying this is shocking. Very similar to the shocking results of last night. Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. All right? Notice, this is obviously a very shocking thing, and I'll just tell you directly what this is talking about. Notice it says, shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? It's talking about, shall a nation be born in a day? All right? Shall a nation be born? The word the earth is the word Hebrew word for nations. So you could read it this way. Shall the nations be made to bring forth or to be born in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? All right? This is talking about when Israel would come back as a nation. The Bible says that they would come back in one day. All right, and if you're wondering when that happened, what that day was, I believe it was, May 14th, 1948. All right, May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation in a day. All right, are you aware of your history? All right, and so in 1948, that prophecy right there was fulfilled, and it shocked the world. for 1900 years, the Israelites had been exiled into all, were strangers in all the nations of the earth. And God said, I am going to bring them back to the Holy Land, and I'm going to make a nation again of them in one day. And of course, with the help of the United States and Britain, they became a nation on May 14th, 1948. They've never left, and they're never going to leave. Mark my word. They are there to stay. And one reason why America has been so prominent is because we are one of the guiding forces to protect and defend them. Though God, you know, we're blessed to be one of his tools, but he can defend them, you know, regardless. Praise the Lord. All right. And so I want you to know that this scripture is specifically talking about Israel, but something very similar happened last night. Something very similar. Notice it says, shall a nation be born at once? The word born there in the Hebrew is the word delivered. And the word once or at once is the same term used in the previous statement. It means one day. So you could say it this way, shall a nation be delivered in one day? All right, that is what happened last night under the election of Donald Trump. Listen, when I say this, this is not to gloat, this is not political, I'm telling you, it is a spiritual thing. All the things that have taken place over the last 8 years, when it comes to unconstitutional executive orders, when it comes to the federal takeover of the medical system. It was a federal takeover of our medical system. You understand that that's what the Affordable Care Act was. We're talking the Iran deal. We gave $400 million to an enemy. $400 million. Do you realize that there's more than that would be more than $1 million for every man, woman, and child in the United States of America? But why would we give that to a country who is spinning centrifuges to develop a nuclear weapon against us in Israel? Why would you do that? That was done illegally by executive order. Do you realize that was done? And so all these things, do you realize that on day one, starting with this new presidency, those things can one by one, will be completely destroyed. Any executive order can be undone instantly by a current president. All right? Do you realize that all these things that have tried to come against the gospel, they are literally going to be undone in one day? Will a nation be delivered in one day? The answer is yes. One day, and there will, you know, and I'm not here to, you know, to say this to, you know, go after our current president or anything like that, but his legacy is gone. Everything that he accomplished in 8 years is now completely going to be erased. Do you realize that? And many of those things are very unfriendly to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And literally, in one day, it is going to be delivered. Wow. Yeah. That is the power of God. That is the move of God. It is shocking the world. And it's biblical times that we're living in. And I'll tell you what, it's not because Donald Trump was elected to be president, but because of what God is doing in this earth. Right, and there is a grassroots movement going on across the world to refuse this globalization idea. Praise God, it is a result of the church praying. It is a result of you being faithful. It's a result of us crying out for the mercy of God. This is the mercy of God taking place. That does not mean this next president is going to be perfect. Doesn't mean he's not going to make mistakes. We're not saying to put your hope in him. We're not just, you know, like, oh, you know, let's put all of our hope in this new one. No. But I'll tell you what, you realize how close we were to a Supreme Court that would have been unchangeable for decades. All right? Folks, and we're going to talk about that here in just a moment. You know, notice the rest of the verse there in verse 8. It says, for as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. All right, travailing is a reference to praying and to diligently pray. And, you know, of course, prayer was at the root of Israel's return, and prayer was at the very heart of this victory. It was huge. As soon as Zion travailed, her children were brought forth. Or you could say it this way, in New Testament terms, as soon as the church prayed, as soon as the church prayed, as soon as, I mean, I'll tell you what, 2012 was a major wake-up call.
Yes.
And I remember, you know, talking to a lot of Christians, a lot of pastors, and everyone said, that's it. We're not laying down on the job anymore. And so many picked up their responsibility to pray. And as the church travailed, things in times and seasons are now changing. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, you say, well, what does it matter? Well, it does matter because we're looking at probably at least two or three new Supreme Court justices over the next 4 years. Do you realize what that would mean? I mean, do you realize that for the first time in over 40 years, I mean, things such as Roe v. Wade are going to be on the table again. Things such as abortion, well, we can possibly get that, you know, same-sex marriage thing reversed and get it, you know, the Bible says that sin is a reproach upon a nation. And those laws are evil and they're a reproach upon our nation. And now, for the first time in decades for some of these things, we can actually see a possibility in our Supreme Court to turn these things over. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And guess what? It all happened in a day.
That's right.
It literally did. You know, all those things that were done over these last 8 years, because they were all based on executive orders and not through our Congress, that means when President Trump steps into office that day, which he's already promised to do, he can literally, with one stroke of a pen, eradicate every single one. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why? Because is a nation going to be delivered in one day? Yes, they can. The power of God. So just think of what else God can do in one day. Things that you've been waiting for years. Things that you've been believing God for. Debts that have seemed insurmountable. In debts of whether it's your home or your business or things that you were believing for, all of a sudden can be paid in one day. What God can do in one day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, but notice it was because Zion travailed, because there was a sincere, heartfelt cry to God. Yeah, praise the Lord. I mean, and we have to also be very sober. Folks, again, this is not to be critical, but if you and I lived our lives the way that the Democratic nominee lived her life, we would be in jail. We would be in jail. You would be in jail for many, many years. There are several people in jail right now for doing far, far less. And that's not fair. In this country, we don't believe in people that can live above the law. And we did not need felons to be elected to the highest office in the land. And we were that close. We were that close to that happening. We dodged a major, major, major bullet. All right, but it doesn't mean we're out of the, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, we can just take a day off and, you know, stop praying or anything like that. We're going to talk about it. All right. All right. So first of all, I want you to know this. This was a great act of mercy on behalf of, you know, at the hand of the Lord. First of all, for the church. Listen, this was an act of mercy for the church. Because the church, when I say the church, I don't mean family church. I mean the born-again believers in this nation needed a victory. They needed a victory. Because I don't know if you felt this way, but these last 8 years have been designed to make us feel diminished, like we don't have a voice anymore, that we're constantly on the losing side. And in one day, we realize that we're getting a voice again. We always had a voice because we had it with God, but I'm talking about in our society and in our system that we've been considered these outsiders, these outcasts, you know, what we believe is wrong. This current administration has been very, very against traditional believing people, you know, and now it was exactly those people that rose up and decided to take their country back last night. Thank you, Lord. So this is a great act of mercy from God, of course, first for the church. The church needed a victory before the church started to faint. The Bible says, David said this in Psalm 27 in verse 13. He said, I would have fainted unless I believed I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Can you bring that scripture up? How about you bring up Psalm 27, verse 13? I believe that's the right one. Psalm 27, 13, David said, I would have fainted. I would have quit. I was disheartened. I was discouraged. unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that good news strengthens the bones. And the church was starting to feel like we weren't being heard, that change was not happening. We needed a victory for the born-again believers in this country. It's going to stir up a new fire. It's going to stir up a new faith. It's not a faith. Don't ever put your faith in Donald Trump. Don't put your faith in a Republican candidate or a Democrat candidate. But when we see something, you know, when something goes well, the Bible says the good news will strengthen you. Amen. And this is going to absolutely strengthen the church. It's going to help the church to see. Praise the Lord. Because one more defeat like this, it would have just felt like we were, you know, being crept out and pushed out of our own country. The last 8 years felt like that. Has felt like that. And thank God. And thank God that, you know, we have something, you know, again, it's not because our new president is going to do everything right. He's not. And believe me, I've never looked at him and thought, well, there's our hope. I haven't. I don't think that way at all. I'm just saying I can see God's hand in it. I think it's very pertinent, you know, for you to know and understand, and maybe I can't remember the exact date and time of the service. I had several conversations with Pastor Nancy Dufresne in California leading up to this election, and it was actually in summer of last year. It was 2015 when she was here for the meetings, and it was just a few weeks after Donald Trump had announced his candidacy. And she's riding in the back seat, my wife is in the front seat, and I'm driving along, and you know, and she knows that sometimes I'm used in political things. And she said, Pastor, you know, what do you think about Donald Trump? You know, and I have to admit, I was kind of, you know, a little bit in the closet. You know, like, well, I don't know if I want to admit it, but I kind of like him. You know, it was kind of refreshing to hear, you know, someone that was speaking his mind and being just normal, you know, just being, you know, not some polished politician. And, you know, and she, you know, she instantly said, I see something there too. I just, you know, there's something, you know, very unconventional there, whatever. And it was several weeks and months after that, the Spirit of God came on her in the service, and she prophesied that this election would be an act of God's mercy upon our land. And I tell you what, that came to pass last night. It was an act of God's mercy. It was an act of God's mercy. Folks, I know all the things that have been discovered about the Democratic candidate, the corruption and the things that came out, you know, and the whole email leaks and all that stuff. You know, I know we don't need to hear any more about that. But we thought that that was bad. But when that would have gotten into the White House, we would have had a nonstop scandal over and over and over again. We would have had a lot of bad people in the people's house of America. And we dodged a major, major bullet. I cannot emphasize enough. You say, well, Pastor, what's this all boiling up to? I'm going to give you your assignment here in just a minute. But I want you to know and to understand, you know, how much we owe God. Big time. To thank him and to praise him. Look at Proverbs 29:2. I'll just show you this. This verse, you know, came up in my heart. Proverbs 29:2. Says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. We would have had another 4 years of national mourning. We would have had another 4 years of national mourning. I don't know if you know or you're aware of this, but America has been under the last 8 years at least, if not more, America has been under a season of judgment. Are you aware of that? That we have been under the judgment of God in this land. You say, well, how do you know? Well, a couple of weeks ago on Sunday, I shared several scriptures with you. Remember in the Old Testament when Israel would fall under judgment? Remember what would happen? Their enemies would become stronger. Their economy would go lower. All right? All the things that would come upon them, you know, the first act of judgment that God takes upon a land is allowing wicked rulers to take office. And we looked at those things in Scripture. And it's very evident by Scripture that America has been under judgment. Why? What has happened in the last 8 years? Have our enemies gotten stronger? Yes, they have. Russia's stronger than ever. China's stronger than ever. North Korea's gotten stronger. Iran has gotten stronger. All right? Our enemies could sense weakness on our nation. They were the buzzards that were circling the carcass, and they were waiting for an opportunity to land and to devour us up, you know. And we started to see that this land, you know, was under a time of judgment. The economy was not recovering. People are making less money than ever, all right? More people out of work than ever. It was a form of political, economic, and social judgment. We were given over to our own wickedness. For the first time in America, same-sex marriage became the law of the land. That is a disgrace. That is an absolute disgrace upon our nation. It is an absolute reproach upon our nation. We have to get that off our books. Amen. Amen. People say, oh, Pastor, you just get too political. This is not political. The Bible says sin is a reproach of a nation. Not to say that our president-elect is some holy, great Christian. Not saying that at all. But compared to the alternative, yeah, you could call him the Pope. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And, you know, I just sat there thinking, are we seriously considering, for the first time in America in 2016, we had an open, avowed socialist that took his honeymoon in communist Soviet Union because he loved communism so much. He was very popular. And then we have a known corrupt felon running, all right? And then we have a whole host of, you know, others. And I'm thinking about these individuals that got so close to the White House. What is going on? We need to preserve what God has given this nation. Praise the Lord. We dodged quite a few bullets here. This was also an act of mercy upon our nation. And of course, it was an act of mercy upon our Supreme Court. All right? And you say, well, the Supreme Court, there you go. You're talking about legal stuff? No. The laws that are approved and are sanctioned by our Supreme Court, they will oppress people. They will oppress people. Listen, when the Supreme Court made same-sex marriage the law of the land in the United States, that opened the door for more people to be oppressed in that lifestyle. It'll lead more people into that sin. It will dominate more people's lives and families. It'll destroy souls. It will literally send souls to hell. That's exactly what will happen. All right, you say, well, the Supreme Court doesn't matter. No, it matters big time. It matters huge. We cannot advocate for that sinful kind of living in our nation. Come on now. Whoa, I'm probably making somebody mad. You know, I say, well, Pastor, you just act like, you know, this is the best thing that ever happened. No. Don't you misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we have some perfect alternative now. I'm just saying that there was a great act of mercy, what we got compared to what we could have had. And what would have happened to the laws of our land? Yeah. Think of all the folks that would have been destroyed by those laws, that would have been, you know, drawn into those kind of different lifestyles, you know, and without the hope of overturning it. Without the hope of overturning it. Wow. Go to Isaiah chapter 45. Let me show you what else we got. What else would happen in the scripture that parallels what took place in the United States? I'll tell you. The United States last night elected a Cyrus-type figure. Yeah. Yeah. We elected a Cyrus. We did not elect a Hezekiah. Right. We did not elect a Josiah. All right. Okay. You remember Hezekiah was one of the most righteous kings. He was actually deemed the most righteous king that Israel ever had. We did not get a Hezekiah. Josiah was also very, very righteous. He lived before God. We did not get a Josiah, all right? We did not get a King David. We didn't even get a Solomon, all right? But what we got is a Cyrus, all right? And I'll show you, go to Isaiah 45, all right? This is a great act of mercy upon the church and a great act of mercy upon our nation, a great act of mercy upon the Supreme Court, which ultimately is a great act of mercy upon people that may not even have preferred the president that they're going to get. It's going, you know, not saying that the Supreme Court isn't the hope for our country, but I'll tell you what, we have to have righteous laws. We have to have righteous laws, and we have to get the reproach off of our nation. because it will hurt and it will take souls to hell, and we don't want that. Isaiah 45 in verse 1, look at this. It says, "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed." Everyone say anointed. What does that mean? God, when God anoints somebody, that means he puts his ability, his grace on somebody. All right? He says, "My anointed Cyrus." Now you're going to say, well, here's this anointed man of God, Cyrus, whoever he is. He must know God. He must love God. He must be this righteous, you know, high standard, you know, of morality and this pinnacle of spirituality. No, he's not. You're going to see. But notice God anointed him. It says, "To my anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden," God saying this. So Cyrus and God are holding hands. "To subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron." Wow, God's going to use this Cyrus to do some mighty things. He's going to use this Cyrus to crash through and break through the hindrances to the plan of God. He's going to use this Cyrus to give strength to his people. Watch this. He says, "And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of the secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel." Now look at this. He said, "For Jacob my servant's sake." Jacob is another name for who? Israel. It's a reference to the nation of Israel, not just one man. He says, "For Israel's sake." Now we're in the New Testament, so you could say it this way. "For the church's sake, for the people of God's sake." He said, "I have anointed Cyrus," what? He says, "for my people's sake, and Israel, mine elect." He says, "I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though you have not known me." Notice God anointed. Let me just tell you the history side of this now. Cyrus was not a part of Israel. Cyrus was a pagan king. He did not even know God. He did not serve God. Sound familiar? Now, of course, I don't know if you're familiar with James Dobson. James Dobson just, you know, reported, you know, of course, I know ministers. I know for a fact that I know ministers who prayed with our president-elect and have confirmed that, yes, indeed, he has prayed and accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. All right. James Dobson reported that just the other day on his website. All right, that indeed that he sat down with him and he understood the plan of salvation and he has embraced it and he has personally received Jesus as Lord and Savior. But let's face it, all right, if he's a Christian, he's an infant Christian, all right? And not the pinnacle of spirituality. He's not going to be, we're not electing a pastor here, you know, we're not electing a children's ministry leader or anything. We're electing a Cyrus who is going to break down, right, the political correct nature and the society, you know, this political correctness that is trying to devour our nation. And God said, "I anointed this man who didn't even know me. I anointed him for the sake of my people." God's saying, "I anointed him to help you." And in the same way, you could say it this way. There's somebody out there that is anointed to help you. There is somebody anointed to help this church. There is a somebody anointed to help the church in general. And of course, obviously, Donald Trump isn't the only one, but he has, I truly believe, God has raised him up for the sake and for this hour for the church. And so people say, "Oh no, you know, we needed somebody that was more holy. We needed a pastoral like president. We need someone that prays in tongues in the Oval Office." Well, you know, we all would have liked to have that and have a true spiritual president, but we didn't get a David, we didn't get a Hezekiah, we did not get a Josiah, we did not get a Daniel. We all would have loved to have a Daniel in office, but what we got is someone with strength, someone is anointed for this day and this hour. And it's for the sake of the church. Glory to God. That has happened in Israel's past, and we see these parallels between America's progress and what Israel faced in the Old Testament. And so, you know, you say, "Well, what happened last night?" You know, and maybe if you've ever sat there And if you've ever, you know, taken time to consider the personality of our president-elect, and you sit there and you think, that's rough, and I don't like that, I completely understand where you're coming from. No one would ever blame you or fault you for that at all. I mean, if you just downright despise them, I still don't think I can fault you for it. I mean, you know, I mean, I can understand that the outward personality can be very rough at times, very gruff, you know, and very, sometimes things get said, you know, like, oh, come on, you know, can we polish it up just a little bit, you know? Can we have a little bit more maturity at times, you know, watch out? But he's not a polished politician, you know. He's not someone that has spent, you know, hours in prayer and, you know, developed this keen relationship with God, but he's anointed for the people of God's sake. He's anointed to help. And the church is sensing that for the first time in years, we've actually have somebody that's going to help the church. All right? You say, what does it mean to help the church? It means to not allow things, to not allow laws to be passed that would take away the free course of the gospel. All of a sudden we feel like, you know, I'll tell you what, these last 8 years I have dealt with it as a pastor. What's going to happen when someone walks into this church and they want us to perform a homosexual wedding or something like that? Will I be arrested for refusing to say that? That's become a real possibility. That becomes a real possibility. And we've even had to sit down as a church and an administration, and we have to have protocol in place. What's going to happen if that comes to pass? What if they start forcing you to do things against your belief? I won't do them. Don't ever want to put me in that situation, because I'll say, sure, let's do this thing. I'll come out there. I'll stand at the pulpit. I will preach the most fire and brimstone message anyone has ever heard. You will not want to do that. Praise the Lord. And it's not out of hate, and it's not out of spite, but you cannot use government. Listen, well, from all the way back from the times of Pharaoh to Nebuchadnezzar to Herod to Pontius Pilate, the devil has tried to use government to snuff out the people of God. He raised up, Satan inspired Herod to kill all the children 2 years of age and younger. He tried to inspire government to try to stop Jesus from fulfilling his plan. And I'll tell you what, these last 8 years, the church has felt that. We have felt the oppression of a Caesar. We have felt the oppression of a Herod. We have felt that those laws are being passed, that we've actually had to consider, what are we going to do if we face being arrested? And you can tell, I can tell that it's emboldened any and all law enforcement, because I myself got a letter from law enforcement telling that they were going to arrest me. Not for that, but for something else. You know, with our Erie building. I literally got a letter saying that they were going to arrest me. And I got on the phone with that guy. I said, are you serious? I said, come and get me. He said, well, you break the law. You're breaking the law by being in that building. You're breaking the law. I said, come and arrest me then. You know, he's like, don't force my hand to do it. I said, no, please do it, because you will make me a very famous pastor. I said, you will make me so incredibly famous. I said, he said, but you broke the law. I said, you keep saying that. He told me 12 times that I broke the law. I said, well, then arrest me. I said, do you want to cuff and stuff a pastor for holding a church service in a building that your administration gave me permission to be in? And I knew and I understood that his boldness was coming from somewhere. He had been emboldened by this movement against Christianity. I must have told him, he kept saying, well, you know, you broke the law. I said, are you going to stop saying that? I literally said this to him. I said, stop saying that, and will you please come and arrest me? Because if I broke the law and that's your job to arrest me, then you better come and do that. He said, well, I said, well, no. I said, please do it. I said, you will make me very famous. I said, I'll make sure we'll have the press there. I said, I'll have my camera guy there. We'll get it all on tape. I said, I will go on Facebook. We'll go viral. Woo-hoo. I said, it'll be fun. But I mean, I was like, since when has this country ever pursued? How about, I mean, just the other day, in the state of Georgia, of all places, how about in the city of Houston? They're requiring pastors to hand in their sermons to be scrutinized by the mayor and their administration. Listen, that has been, the atmosphere in America towards Christianity these last 8 years. But the times and the seasons are changing. Because Cyrus has been anointed to help. Glory to God. He's going to break down the leaved gates. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yep. And he's going to make the crooked places straight. And that's not because he's our hope or our salvation. And again, is he going to make mistakes? Oh, yeah. Did Cyrus make mistakes? Oh, yeah. But God raised him up, even though Cyrus did not know God. Praise the Lord. Go to 1 Timothy. Now let's get into our homework assignment. This is what happened in our nation. It was a move of God. Our nation was delivered from these past 8 years of spiritual oppression, and we were delivered in one day. God sets up kings. He takes down others. He changes times and seasons. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a new season. I'm ready for a new season. And that new season is not just a Donald Trump administration. That new season is what God is doing. Because when, and I'll tell you what, we learned last night that our media is filled with liars. It's filled with corruption. It's filled with liars. It's filled with people that will peddle misinformation. They will do whatever they have to do just to get paid. And I'll tell you what, it was God confounding the wisdom of the wise last night. Everyone, I went to all the news sites, and all of them have an article. Where did we miss it? Where did we miss it? How were we so wrong? How were we so wrong? How were we so wrong? How did the pollsters miss? What did they miss? What did they miss? I just want to say, God! They missed God. That's what they missed. 1 Timothy. And please don't, I can see somebody taking this message and trying to, flip it around and say, man, he's just giving a victory speech up there because his candidate won. No, I'm not. Because when we had the last, this is my third election now since I've been the senior pastor of this church. And we had 08, we had 12, and now 16. And I preached messages after 08 and 16. And when the church was feeling so low and so discouraged in those years, we rallied. We rallied. We rallied. And even when it comes out in our preference, we rally. We rally. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we're just trying to explain how significant we see these patterns in the scripture and how significant it is. If you're sitting here and you're really just ticked because you're a Democrat, well, I got good news for you. I'm not a Republican, so don't be upset with me. I'm not. And I'm not a Democrat either. I'm a Christian. I'm in it for God. And I don't care what political party God's choice comes from. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. I am not. I don't give money to the Republican Party. I don't belong to them. I don't vote on their line. I don't. You say, well, how did you vote then? I voted on the conservative line. I don't vote on the Republican line. And if you say, well, I'm a member of the Republican Party, now you're offending me. Well, good. Then join the party. Take a number, right? Praise the Lord. Take that, fly. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Did you find it over there? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes. God is so good. And now we're going to get our assignment. 1 Timothy 2:1. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. It's talking about those in civic government. Verse 2, for kings, we could say for presidents. For all that are in authority, we could say congressmen and women. We could say senators. We could say federal court judges, local state governments, county governments, legislators, governors, mayors. It says, pray for these people that are in civic authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Notice it matters if whoever's in office is going to affect, right, our quiet and peaceable life. How many of you want to have a quiet and peaceable life? Well, then guess what? Whoever's in office is a big part of that. That's why it matters that the church pray. And I'll tell you what, the church, in a lot of ways, don't misunderstand me. We didn't, the body of Christ in America, didn't, stop following God or anything these last 10, or 8 years, because of President Obama or anything like that. But there has been less quiet and peaceable life these last years. Now, I don't mean because of war or anything like that. I mean in terms of a spiritual atmosphere. We have sensed the oppression that has tried to come on the church through the use of the government of the United States of America, right? Well, we pray for those that are in authority that we may lead a quiet, peaceable life in all what? Godliness and honesty. That is a key word. I looked at this verse and thought about this verse when we had our candidates. And I got to thinking, God wants godliness and honesty. Neither of them are a pinnacle of godliness. I looked at both of them and said, neither of them are the pinnacle of godliness, but there is definitely one that is a clear winner when it comes to honesty. And there, or maybe I should say, it was very clear of the loser when it came to honesty. And I thought, honesty is a hallmark of what God wants for those that are in authority. And I got thinking, if we put somebody extremely dishonest in the White House, it's going to rob our quiet and peaceable life. Yeah, come on now. So I tell you what, again, we dodged that. And we need to be very, very grateful. All right? But this scripture is talking about the assignment of the church to pray for those that are in authority. Verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Notice, God is very pleased when we pray for those that are in these political offices. Amen. It is very pleasing to God. All right, now go back up there to verse 1. 1 Timothy. I think the air conditioning turned the pages in my Bible. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. We need to seriously, there is some thanksgiving that needs to be given here. Number one, we should be thanking God for his act of mercy in this election. We should also be thanking God for the current president that we have. Say, Pastor, you just got done saying how he's been unfavorable to the gospel and things. He has. But listen, I have spent much time over these last years, 8 years, thanking God for President Obama. Because the Bible tells me to. The Bible tells me to thank God for him. Because one thing is true, and this is a fact. Bad government is better than no government. Bad government is better than no government at all. And I tell you what, I thanked God more for this president than I have of any president ever in my life. Father, thank you for my president. Thank you for his wife and his daughters. Father, I thank you. You remember how we would pray and we'd have, whether it was Wednesday night prayer time or on Sunday morning, I'd mention it. I mean, I remember, you know, I'd just say, Father, I thank you. When that man sits in that chair in that Oval Office, I thank you the anointing of God comes upon him to make wise decisions. I pray that the favor of God would shield him from harm and danger. You know, Father, thank you for him. Thank you, thank you. And your flesh sometimes, when it's something you don't like, cringes for thanking God for something you naturally don't care for. Listen, whether your preference won last night or not, our job is to be thanking God for our civic leaders. As leaders, they have a target on their back. As leaders, even in government, Satan tries to influence them more than he might influence, you know, some of the rest of us. You know, when they're in positions of leadership, when they're making policies that affect thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, the devil is going to be hitting them harder than he's hitting the guy, you know, at the workshop or somewhere else. When they're in that civic authority, the devil is very interested in them. He targets leadership, just like he targets leadership in the church. He will target leadership in the civic arena as well. All right? And so we need to be praying for our current president. We need to be praying. And listen, I'll tell you what, we got to take it to another level with our next president. Because like I said, he has a lot of enemies. He has a lot of people that are going to want to do him harm. And we need to be praying for him. We need to be praying for him. We need to be praying for his wife. We need to be praying for his kids. We need to be praying for, you know, his safety and his wisdom. Praise the Lord. Listen, I tell you what, don't you think that you get to go on a roller coaster now because your guy got in and finally someone's going to be, you know, a little bit more beneficial to the church? No. We need to keep the heat up. We need to pray for this man. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And it's not just because, and listen, don't get disappointed when he makes a mistake, because he's going to. It doesn't mean he's going to do, you know, he's not going to be some pastor in there. If you're waiting for his inauguration address to be like George Washington's, forget about it. All right? Say, well, what's George Washington's inaugural address? It's like a sermon. Have you ever read George Washington's inauguration address? He led the nation in prayer. He sat there, he led a worship service at his inauguration. His inauguration address is seriously some good preaching. I mean, it really is. If you've never read it, you need to read it. And if you're expecting Donald Trump's to be like George Washington's inauguration address, forget about it. It's not going to happen. If you're expecting some kind of pastoral president, forget about that. That's not what he was elected to do. He was elected to be Cyrus. He was elected to help make some crooked places straight. And believe you me, he is not, again, he's not the hope. He's not the Savior. The name of Jesus is always greater. We are still the church. Glory to God. We are still the voice of authority on this earth. Amen. But notice it says that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. All right, well, there's several different modes of prayer that are mentioned there. First of all, it says supplications. To supplicate means to request on one's behalf. The number one thing that we request for our president is wisdom. The number one thing that we request for our president is wisdom. All right? The second thing that we request for our president is safety. Safety. Whether you like him or not. Listen, it's good for our nation when he's safe. Yeah, you know, I have no problem with, you know, a lot of people really got on President Obama for cruising around all over the world in Air Force One. I'm glad he's got that plane. And I think we should spend every cent it takes to make sure that he has the absolute best, because it's not about the man, it's about the office. And he needs that equipment. It helps keep him safe. Praise the Lord. I was sure glad that President George W. Bush had that airplane on 9/11. It became like their command center in the sky. I'm grateful for all the, you know, the men and women that serve and protect in the Secret Service. You know, I'm grateful for those soldiers that are on the corner of the White House and surround that yard. You know, I might not understand why, you know, a president can, you know, be protected by armed guards, but then he doesn't want you to be able to protect yourself with a firearm. I don't understand that, but I don't care. Even if we disagree on that topic, I want him protected. Praise the Lord. I want him safe. So we're praying, we're requesting wisdom, and we're requesting security and safety. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. And the second thing, it says prayers. Well, you say, well, what's the difference between prayers and supplications? Prayers means to talk to God about something, as opposed to criticizing. Folks, we're going to talk about something right now that I've been guilty of, you've been guilty of. There's a temptation always for all people to criticize political leadership, all right? To say hurtful personal insults. I've been guilty of it. I've even been guilty of it this time around. I catch myself. I wish I would be better at it. But listen, our president does not need the criticisms and the insults of the church. Our presidents need the prayers. And, you know, if you got a problem with the president, you talk to God about it. Amen. You pray about it, and you don't release personal insults. Amen. How that has done so much damage. And all that will do is that will turn things in the spirit. It'll produce a spiritual animosity between the church and that president. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Have you read Romans chapter 13? About where the Bible says that civic leaders are God's ministers. All right? I'm a minister of the Lord. All right? And you probably believe, if I'm your pastor, you probably want me to be safe, right? You want, you know, me to be protected. You wouldn't want anyone to disgrace your pastor. You don't think that anyone should ever hurt or harm a minister of God. It would be an unholy thing to do. Well, the Bible says in the same way, it's just as unholy to harm or to insult a political leader. All right? Amen. You know, you wouldn't sit around, at least I hope you wouldn't sit around and talk trash against, you know, your pastor and insult them behind their back. Well, you shouldn't be doing it to presidents either. Amen. I see, you might be sitting here thinking, well, this is very simple and this isn't very clever, but I'll tell you what, this is what we need to do. And notice it says intercessions. All right? Intercessions is when you stand in between or you fill the gap on somebody's behalf. You stand in between them and harm. Isn't that awesome? Is that on their behalf, you literally stand in a place between them and harm. That is what the church has the responsibility to do for our current president. And listen, our current president is still our president until January 20th, all right? He is still to receive that honor. He's still to receive your prayers, all right? Do your best to speak well of him. Listen, disagreeing with somebody's policies is not insulting somebody, all right? I've told you, I don't like this current president's policies. I can think of one or two that I have liked, and the majority of them I haven't. And I could go back to George W. Bush, and I could think of a whole lot that I personally did not like and that I believe was scripturally wrong. You know, George W. Bush got in there and started giving away Israel's land to the Palestinians. That's wrong. The scripture warns you do not divide the land of Israel. And I believe it was the reason why he left that office as a failure. He meddled into things pertaining to Israel, and he had this idea of give land for peace. Give land to the Palestinians. Just carve off pieces of Israel, give it away, and promise for peace. And the Palestinians, they would, you know, be peaceful for a day or two, and they'd get the free land, and then they would just start shooting rockets into Israel again. And then Bush said, well, give them some more land. And they'd finally agree, they'd give them more land, and it would never stop it. And it was wrong. It was wrong. Yeah. So again, you know, we as a church, we have to understand that, you know, disagreeing with policy is not the same as insulting them. All right? You can disagree with their policy, but you do not have the right to personally insult them. Well, praise the Lord. Listen, folks, the church has a notorious record for laying down and going to sleep at the wheel when they get an election result that's in their favor. Because like I said, the church will breathe a corporate sigh of relief. Oh, God. Oh, God. So now we can just forget about praying for the president. No. Listen, you better keep the heat up. You know what I mean? You better keep that spirit up. You better, understand that you are vital, that the church, this church and every church and every born-again believer is vital to these political offices, to our president, to these senators, these congressmen and women. Listen, I've prayed directly for, you know, things pertaining to government right here in the city of Jamestown, city council, school board elections, things like that. Listen, because the devil knows if he can get the wrong people, or in his mind, the right people into positions of leadership and government. I tell you what, we've had some things right here in our local governments that have gone well, and things that have gone really not well. You know, right to the election of certain, you know, school board members that are living horrible, awful lives, that are being awful influences on our children. You know, I'll tell you what, the church is the force to be reckoned with. The church and the church praying, glory to God, is the force to be reckoned with. I'll tell you what, there's no Donald Trump, there's no Cyrus that will ever compare to the corporate anointing and the prayers of the saints of that when we get unified, amen. Listen, that the unified church, the prayers of the church got us to a good place to start, but it's going to take that same faith and that same fervor to carry it through and to see it through. Amen. Because if we give up on the job and we allow this opportunity to be lost, do you realize, and again, it's not a Republican issue, But do you realize that the Republicans have the White House, the Senate, and the Congress for the first time since the 1920s? It's been almost 100 years since that has happened. All right? Let's not lose an opportunity to pray for them to make the right decisions, to start considering the same-sex marriage thing, to get the right judges on the courts. Amen. Let's not, if the church goes to sleep at the switch, we're going to miss a very good opportunity. But it's going to take your supplications, your prayers, your intercessions, and your giving of thanks. Your giving of thanks. Say, well, I don't like that politician. Thank God for him anyway. Listen, I don't particularly care for the senators in New York State, but I thank God for him. I don't particularly care for, meaning I don't, I mean, personally, I mean, these people personally, I mean, take the President of the United States, for instance, like, I hear what, you know, what he likes sports and all that. I could probably go out to lunch with him, you know, and have a great conversation. And I mean, he would probably be someone I would just personally get along with, you know, and I can't stand what is going on in our country. Like when you disagree with somebody, you know, have you seen this spirit get in our country? That if you disagree with somebody, it's filled with such hate. Listen, we can disagree with people without hating them. I have no hate for him. Man, my goodness. But you understand, if we fall asleep at the switch, listen, every day you should be confessing, thank you, Father, for our president. Thank you, Father, for our congressman. Because you know what? We have to thank God on their behalf. We'd only just, because, listen, I can about guarantee, and of course I don't know, but I would say a majority of our congressmen and women are going to wake up tomorrow morning, and many of them are not going to be thanking God. All right? And so guess who's going to need to thank God on their behalf? We are. All right? So we thank God that they're there. We thank God for them. And then we also, I literally will say to God, Father, on behalf of our president, on behalf of our government, thank you for being merciful when our nation did not deserve the good thing that happened or whatever it is. Father, thank you for your mercy. On behalf of our senators, on behalf of our mayors, on behalf of our governors, Father, I thank you for being merciful to them even when they didn't even know and understand it. Because I can guarantee you, listen, and our president-elect, listen, I don't know. I don't know what he's thanking God, but I don't get the impression he's on his face before God every day. And so let's make sure on his behalf, we're touching heaven on his behalf. Let's make sure, and listen, the reason why we got a favorable decision was not because we prayed for Donald Trump to win. It's because we prayed for Barack Obama. Because we prayed for somebody that we disagreed with. We loved him anyway. Amen. I believe in loving people. Even when you disagree with them, you don't need to hate them. And listen, if you're sitting here saying, oh my goodness, man, I feel weird because I voted for the one who lost. Listen, that means nothing now. You just go ahead and you pray for the one that is going to be your president, whether you like him or not. And listen, I've met a lot of people. I've met even Christians that just can't stand Donald Trump. And I just tell them, you know, and they ask me about it. I say, I can understand. I can understand why some things rubbed you the wrong way. I can understand. I said, but don't elect his personality. You know, listen, I'm not after his personality. You know, we're after somebody that can be strong for the church and for our country. And if you didn't vote for him, that's fine. But listen, if you're a born-again Christian that cares about God's plan on the earth, you need to pray for him. You need to thank God for him. Amen. Why? Say, well, did we do that for President Obama? Yes. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. And we're going to continue because he's got 6 more weeks to go, and he might be playing a lot of golf. You know what? That's another thing that people really ripped him about. I can't stand golf. I'll just be honest. I don't play golf. I don't like golf. But I could understand the pressures that would be on that office if that thing helped him relieve that pressure, that I was okay with it. Because, listen, I understand what I do as a pastor and the pressures and things that come against me and stuff. You know, when you're in leadership, I could imagine being responsible for the government of the greatest country on earth. The pressure and how the enemy must just attack him every single day and the pressures of the mind. And if it helps, you know, relieve that by going hitting golf balls around a fancy yard. I understand. Guys love it. I'm all for it. No doubt I get into stuff that they don't understand. But if that helps him get relief, you know, so be it. Praise the Lord. But let's not fall asleep at the switch. Let's not fall asleep at the switch. All right? Praise the Lord. We got a golden opportunity. Let's not lose it. Let's not lose it. Let's not lose it. And if, you know, things start to happen, if the church falls asleep at the wheel, so to speak, and wrong decisions start being made, we will be just as responsible. All right? So let's be sober about this, but let's rejoice at the same time. Amen. And let's pray for our current president and our president-elect. And listen, and in these days and these hours ahead, he's going to be selecting the people that are around him in his cabinet, people that are going to be influencing him. Let's get the right people around him. You know, we're very, very blessed to have a strong Christian vice president. We're very blessed. Do you understand that? That the vice, not Joe Biden, praise the Lord for him. You know, yes, but Mike Pence, who's coming in, if you're not aware, is a very strong Christian man. He loves God. I mean, when's the last time you heard any form of presidential candidate stand up at the convention of their party and the first words out of their mouth, he said, "I'm a Christian, I'm a conservative, and I'm a Republican." He said, and yes, in that order. I mean, when I heard that, I thought, wow, wow. And then when I looked at his record and spent time studying him, actually years ago, when, you know, I've liked him for a long time. He's a fantastic human being. We also have, you know, somebody like a Dr. Ben Carson, who's a spiritual man that needs to be around our president. He's got that soft Daniel-like demeanor, you know. Be a great, you know, we have people like Mike Huckabee, a former pastor, you know, be a wonderful, wonderful person around them. I'm just throwing these ideas. I'm not saying, you know, any of those ones will be picked, but they'd be good spiritual, you know, men around our president. And it would sure beat, you know, maybe some of the influences that our current president has had around him. Let's get the right ones. But we play a part in that. Don't just sit and wait. Who do you choose for the Secretary of State? Who's the Secretary of Defense? You know, who are these people? Who's the Attorney General going to be? Let's pray. Let's pray. And so we'll have a part in that. Amen? Well, did you get some help here tonight? You just so you understand where we are in biblical things with this election. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you.